You are listening to the Bethel Church Sermon Podcast, a ministry of Bethel Church in Yale, South Dakota.
Matt and Michael, first of all, I want to say thanks to Pastor Robinson for this opportunity to preach before you guys this morning. I'm always excited for these opportunities to grow in my experience as a preacher. And also, I would like to apologize in advance for those of you trying to make it to JVC's graduation at 3, in case we don't get out of here in time. But anyways, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can go ahead and open up to James chapter 1, verses 20 through to 25. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. Starting in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house and worship you through song and through digging into your word. I just pray, God, that you would open up our hearts, that we would be receptive to what your word has to say to us this morning. As we look deeper into what it means to be a doer of your word, that our lives would be transformed by the gospel and that we would apply it to our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So growing up, going to high school at James Valley Christian, and then going to college at Faith Baptist Bible College, I've kind of grown a love for rules or a love for laws because it gives order and it gives stability. But I think we need to remember that rules and laws in and of themselves are not good enough. I constantly hear about different school shootings. The most recent one that I heard of was the one in Santa Fe, and it breaks my heart when I hear about things like that. And so a lot of people try to say that we need more gun laws. More gun laws are going to stop that, but gun laws are not going to stop that. As long as we are sinful human beings born with a sin nature, no amount of laws is going to stop evilness and wickedness in this world. It's deeper than rules and laws. It goes back to the heart. It's a heart that desires to do what is good, and I hope to bring that out in my sermon this morning. Christianity is not about do's and don'ts, but about a heart that desires God and to do his will, in which there is freedom. A misconception about Christianity in today's world is that it is all about do's and don'ts. It's a bunch of rules that we have to follow, and it robs us of having fun. I see that all the time, especially when I was at South Dakota State University in college. They followed their fleshly desires, and they saw Christianity just as a list of do's and don'ts and robbing them of that fun. But that could not be further from the truth. Christianity is more about a heart attitude that actually brings true freedom to the believer. So this morning, throughout this passage, we're going to look at three aspects or three characteristics of the doer of the word. The first is, a doer of the word is not content with just hearing. A doer of the word is not content with just hearing. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. James gives us this command to be doers of the word. If we take a quick look back at verse 21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. True lasting spiritual change does not happen simply by avoiding ungodly things or removing those things from our life. If we remove something from our lives, there is now that void or that emptiness in our lives that needs to be filled by something. And if we fail to fill those with spiritual things or fail to fill those with biblical truths from God's word, we're going to look to worldly things to satisfy us. And James understands that, which is why he contrasts verse 21 with verse 22. He says, remove all of those filthy things, remove all of those ungodly things, but instead be doers of the word. Fill your hearts and your minds with the word of God. In order to be a doer of the word, we must know the word first, though. It is important to understand that James is not taking away from the importance of hearing the word of God. Hearing the word is the first step in that biblical change. Hearing the word is still extremely important. What James is warning against is that just hearing the word of God is not enough for us. It needs to be more than just to simply hear the word of God. We can hear and understand all we want, but if we never put that understanding and knowledge into action, it is worthless to us. Take a look quick at James 2:19. It says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. James is saying, you believe that there is one God. Congratulations. That's great. I'm proud of you. But the demons understand that there is one God as well, and they tremble before him. A little bit before that, in verse 17 of James chapter 2, it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Not only is our faith without works dead, without being doers, but also by themselves. As we look back to chapter 1, verse 22, if we are only hearers, we deceive ourselves as well. It is so easy for a person to try and justify themselves just by hearing the word of God. It's easy for anybody to say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth, died on the cross for my sins. It's easy for anybody to say that. But if we truly understand the gospel, if we truly love the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, the gospel should transform our lives and turn us into doers of the word and not hearers only. So if we are just content with hearing the word of God, that is the gospel, and do not put that knowledge and understanding into action, we are missing a vital part to what it means to be a Christian. Our faith and our understanding or our knowledge of the gospel is pointless if we do not put it into action, as we saw in chapter 2. Our faith without works is dead. We can hear the best messages from God's word from the greatest speakers, the most intelligent men on earth, but if we do not act on what we have learned, it is meaningless. God's word is powerful, and his ways of communicating, and it is his way of communicating his will to us. He has given us a game plan for our lives. Whenever we look at his word, whether that be in personal devotions or through sermons, we should be looking for ways that we can apply and act on what God is trying to communicate to us. What good is having faith in Jesus Christ and hearing about the gospel if it does not change the way that we live or the way that we act? I'm a pretty big basketball fan, and as most of us know, the NBA playoffs are going on right now. That's the only time I ever watched the NBA, because before that, it's not very good basketball. But there's a coach of the Boston Celtics. His name is Brad Stevens, and in my opinion, should win the Coach of the Year award. He's a brilliant coach, and in one of their playoff games against the Philadelphia 76ers, it was overtime. They were down by one, and he drew up a play where a bunch of players ran off of a bunch of different screens, and they all ended up being on the other side of half court and left a one-on-one matchup, a mismatch, between Al Horford, their center, and a smaller guy who they threw it into Al Horford. He puts it up, and the Celtics end up winning the game. Fantastic play. So if you can go back a little bit further, rewind a little bit further, back to the huddle, I'm picturing Brad Stevens with his players drawing up this play, and they're all listening intently. They're all like, yeah, coach, that sounds great. I love it, coach. They all put their hands in, say, go team, and they go out, and they all take their places on the court. The player inbounding the ball slaps the basketball, but imagine if nobody moved. They had just heard this play from their coach. They believed in the plan, they heard the plan, but they did not act on the plan. And if they would have not acted on that plan, they would have ended up losing the game. This is kind of ridiculous. I've never seen anybody go out with so much enthusiasm and not act on the coach's plan. But it's funny because myself included, we tend to do this with God's word. We listen to God's word, we hear God's word, we believe in God's word, but it doesn't always transition into action on our part. So I encourage each of you to take a moment sometime today and take an honest self-check, an honest heart check. Is the salvific work of Jesus Christ changing my life? In the workplace, is there anything different between me and my coworkers because of what Christ has done on the cross for me? Does God's love for me, demonstrated through Jesus' death on the cross, cause me to live or do anything differently? James 2:26 sums this up for us pretty well when it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The gospel should move us to action. So we've taken a look at verse 1, and we've seen how a doer of the word is not content with just hearing. And we've seen these two different people. We've seen the doer of the word and the one that hears only. So let's take a look first at the hearer. And from verses 23 through 24, it says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was." So because of this contrast between the two different people, we can assume that the doer of the word is the exact opposite, which is my second characteristic or the second aspect of being a doer of the word. A doer of the word is not passive, but rather seeks ways to be changed. A doer of the word is not passive, but rather seeks ways to be changed. James gives us this analogy to try and help us understand what someone who is a hearer only is like. It's this person who he walks up, looks into the mirror for a little while, maybe gives a little shrug, and then goes on his way. Nothing changes. He looks at himself in the mirror and he doesn't change. When I think of this analogy, I think of someone who is lazy. I think of laziness. He comes to the mirror, he looks at himself in the mirror, he sees the changes that need to be made, but does not care enough to actually make the changes necessary. Not only is he too lazy to make the necessary changes in life, after he walks away and does not do anything about those changes that needed to take place, he forgets about them. He forgets that he even needed to change in the first place. In other words, when we go to God's word and we see God's word as this mirror, we see the gospel as this mirror, and it points something out in our lives or in our hearts that needs to be changed, and we don't make it a priority to make that change right away, and eventually we're going to forget about it, and we're never going to change. There is no better time to make that change in our lives when the gospel or when God's word points that out to us than in that very moment. When we do not make God's word a priority in our lives, this is exactly what we end up doing. Maybe we do our daily devotions in the morning, but everything we have to do throughout the day weighs us down, and we're so worried about that that we read through God's word without really thinking about it, because we're so worried about what we have to do in the future. We walk away without making any changes and eventually forget that we even needed to make a change in the first place. When we do not apply God's word, we will end up forgetting what it says. This is where we deceive ourselves. We will end up tricking ourselves into thinking everything is fine and dandy when really it is not. When I think of through these verses, I kind of picture myself in the morning, right? I wake up and my hair is kind of all over the place. My skin feels oily and gross. I have horrible morning breath. And picture if I were to take myself in the morning, go to this mirror, look at myself in the mirror, and not make any of those changes, and then come before you this morning and try to preach to you. I wouldn't be a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Attractive. There, we'll go with that. I wouldn't be a very attractive preacher. You guys would probably have a hard time listening to my message. But it's funny because we do that with God's word again. We come to God's word, we see the changes that need to take place, and we don't do it. If we're honest with ourselves, We honestly do this in our own Christian life. We can see that we need to change. We feel conviction by the Holy Spirit. It's so obvious. It's right there in front of us, but yet we refuse to do it. I think a question that we need to ask ourselves when we come to those areas that we see need to be changed is we need to ask ourselves, do we love that sin more than we love Jesus Christ? Because ultimately, that's what's stopping us from changing. Sometimes we refuse to get rid of sin in our lives because we love that sin more than we love Jesus Christ. If we struggle with pride, we probably love ourselves more than we love Jesus. If we struggle with anger, we probably love getting even with that person more than we love Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. But the only way we can love Jesus is if we know him. And we can know him by studying his word. So that is the hearer. We took a look at the hearer. He is lazy. He is forgetful. He knows that he needs to change, but he refuses. So now let's take a look at and see what happens to the person who hears the word and acts upon it, the doer of the word. Verse 25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So in verse 25, we see what happens to the doer of the word, the one that hears the word and acts, the one who looks into the mirror and makes those necessary changes that he sees. In the beginning of verse 25, it says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it." I love this description of God's word, or this description of the gospel. It says, it is a law of liberty. Remember at the beginning of my sermon when I mentioned the misconception about Christianity, how it is just a list of do's and don'ts. These people seem to be caught in the Old Testament. That is why the gospel is so beautiful. Go back to verse 22 really quick, where James commands us to be doers of the word. The word doers is so important. He does not command us to simply do the word mindlessly because we have to. He is telling us to be doers of the word. It's not so much about our actions, but it's about our very being. Doing the word of God is more than our actions. It is who we are. As we grow in our understanding of who God is, we grow in our understanding of the gospel. As we grow in our understanding of the gospel, we grow in our love for the gospel. And as we grow in our love for the gospel, and we yield to the Spirit's leading and working in our hearts and in our lives. And as we yield to the Spirit's working in our hearts and in our lives, the natural outflow from our hearts is to be doers of the word, because that is what we desire. It is so much more than simply what we do and what we do not do. It is about a heart that desires God, a heart that desires God's will. And as our hearts are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will become doers. It starts on the inside and it works its way out of us. The president at my Bible college, President Jim Tillotson, I think this was his third year as president there, and I just really appreciate the man. He is very wise, has been a good mentor to me as I prepare for future ministry. But he says this quote all the time, and I think it captures my point here very well. He says that God cares more about our godliness than our giftedness. God cares more about our godliness than our giftedness. We could be the most talented people in the world. We can do great things for those around us. We can serve at the local Salvation Army. We can go on overseas missions trips. And we can put $500 in the offering plate every single Sunday. But if all of those are not done out of a heart that is yielded to the Spirit's leading, a heart that is surrendered to God and surrendered to God for God's glory, all of that is meaningless. When our hearts are surrendered to God and we are truly serving and doing his word solely because we want to glorify him, there is freedom in that. When we surrender our hearts and our lives to God, we are free to do what is right. That is why it is called the law of liberty in verse 25. The law points out our faults. It shows us where we need to improve. And as we allow the Spirit to convict us, and as we allow the Spirit to work in our hearts because we first heard the Word of God, doing the Word of God is then the natural outflowing from our hearts. It's not about our do's and our don'ts. It's about what we desire because we have allowed the Holy Spirit to change us from within. And then continuing in the verse, it says, and continues in it. It gives us this idea that it's a never-ending process. You're never going to reach a moment where you've got it. And that's it. Growing in our understanding and in our love for the gospel and becoming doers of God's word is a constant work. We must continuously yield to the Spirit's working every single day as we allow ourselves to be transformed by the gospel every single day. Then the end of verse 25 tells us that the one who allows this transformation to continuously take place in his life will be blessed in what he does. There is tremendous blessing in being a doer of God's word. It may not always look like it, but in God's perfect timing, I can guarantee you that you will receive a blessing that is beyond comprehension for our human minds. How can I be so confident? Because God's word tells us about it. He tells us what our reward is for continuing in his word. And it is eternal life. Eternal life spent apart from the wickedness of this world. Eternal life spent apart from the hurt in this world. And eternal life spent in the presence of our Lord and Savior, glorifying him for all of eternity. Doesn't that sound amazing? If we continue in his word and continuously allow the Spirit to work within us. And in that truth, there is great confidence and great freedom. In order to do this, though, it takes a lot of humility. I've been going through a book with my camp team back at school. It's called From Pride to Humility by Stuart Scott. And if I can, I'd like to read the opening paragraph to you guys. It says, "It is probably safe to say that humility is the one character quality that will enable us to be all Christ wants us to be. We cannot come to God without it. We cannot love God supremely without it. We cannot be an effective witness for Christ without it. We cannot love and serve others without it. We cannot lead in a godly way without it. We cannot communicate properly without it. We cannot resolve conflict without it. We cannot deal with the sin of others rightly without it. We especially cannot resist sin without it. In short, we must embrace and live out humility in order to truly live and be who God means for us to be. Without humility, we cannot be a doer of the word. As that paragraph said, every aspect of our Christian life is built off of being humble. Humility is what allows us to repent of our sins. Humility is what allows us to serve others. Humility is what allows us to love others. We cannot be doers of the word without humility. God's word is perfect. It is how we know God's will for our lives. God's word gives us liberty. It shows us God's love for us and shows us how we can escape the bondage of sin. And through the knowledge of God's will for us and through the freedom that comes with believing in Jesus Christ, we will be blessed. When I think about different rules or laws, whether that be at James Valley, at Faith, of this country, when I think about those rules and our tendency to think that those rules are robbing us of having more fun, excuse me, I think about a little boy playing with his ball in the yard. This little boy probably is about 4 or 5 years old, and his parents tell him, "Do not play on the street." And the boy winds up and he gives his ball a big kick and it goes bouncing out into the street. And all the little boy sees is fun and joy and happiness as he chases after this ball. And he starts to run out onto the street and his parents yell at him to stop. Tells him to stop. Why? Because they love him. They don't want to rob him of his joy of playing with his ball. They want to protect him. And the same is true with God and his word and the laws that he has put before us. But as we surrender ourselves, surrender our lives, and we yield to the Spirit's leading, we don't see them as laws anymore. We see them as our desires because our hearts are being aligned with God's heart. And his desires become our desires. Since today's graduation Sunday here, I want to take a moment to talk to the seniors. All of you have grown up going to church each Sunday. You have heard the gospel message multiple times. You have been a hearer of God's word. But in a few short months, where's Michael even at? There he is, okay. But in a few short months, you're going to be off to college. For some of you, living independently for kind of the first time in your life. And if you're not positive in what you believe, if you're not positive in why you believe it, this world is going to eat you up. You've been a hearer of the gospel, you've been a hearer of his word growing up your entire life, but now it is time for you guys to become doers if you have not been doers already. There's no better time than today to get yourselves right with God, submit to his authority, and align your hearts with his heart, because in that, there is wisdom. You're going to come up to different situations where you're not sure what you got to do. You're going to come up with different friends who are going to try to tempt you to do things that you probably shouldn't. And the wisdom that can be found in God and the saving grace that is found in God is what's going to keep you from falling into those temptations. Be doers of the word as you go off to college. For the rest of us, we as well need to submit to God's word and allow his truths to transform us, even in our everyday lives. Do we see growing in Christ's likeness as a priority that we attend to immediately? Does our love for the gospel and what Christ has done for us on the cross lead us to action? If not, I would challenge us to take time today and give ourselves that very serious and very thorough heart check. If our hearts are not yielded to the Spirit's leading, we will not be doers of God's word. But if we do allow the Spirit to work within us, even if it is painful, even in those areas where it might hurt a little bit to change, we will experience true, joyful freedom to do what is right, because our heart's desires will be what God desires. As we align our hearts with God's will, we will become worshipful doers of his word. And in that, there is tremendous freedom. If there is one thing I wanted you all to take away from my message this morning, it's that Christianity is not about what we do and what we don't do. It's not about a list of laws, a list of things that we have to avoid, and a list of things that we have to do. It's about a heart that is surrendered completely to God. It is about a heart that desires what God wants. It's about aligning our hearts with God's heart so that his desires become our desires. And as we do that, being a doer of the word will be the natural outflow from the inside out. If we continuously look at Christianity as a list of do's and don'ts, yes, it's going to feel like it's keeping us from doing different things. It's going to feel like we're binded to it and that we're in bondage to it. But if we humble ourselves before God and allow his Spirit to fill us, and we act out of the Spirit, then there is great freedom to do what is right. And that's what true freedom is. And that's what true freedom is, and that's where true joy comes from as well. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this sermon resource from BethelMBChurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about Bethel Church or find other resources, please visit our website at BethelMBChurch.org. Bethel Church exists to bring glory to God by promoting the joyful worship of Jesus Christ both here and abroad.